I'm hoping you can address a hot button topic right now, which is 5G.
I knew you were going
to
ask.
Oh, yeah. We have to go there because I know everyone listening is like, talk about 5G. Talk 5G. About 5G. Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a technology that is being released and rolled out with you know, yes. We're not going to stop that. There's been a significant amount of conversation as it pertains to 5G and COVID-19. I'm trying not to say it out loud so my podcast doesn't shut down, but let's talk about it.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So today's topic is a little bit different, but I would venture to say it actually affects all of us, in particular, since so many of us have now consistently and explicitly directed our work online. My guest today, Risa Suzuki, is a building biologist and an expert in EMFs, electromagnetic fields. And if you're wondering what that is, you are in luck because she is also the author of What the EMF. Now, this is a subject that has a peripheral penetration into all of our lives, but it is not one that we love to look at. It is an inconvenient truth for many of us. What I loved about my interview with Risa today was the opportunity to start to break down what we need to know, where we can take concerted action so that we can be informed citizens in a Wi-Fi and connected world. There is no doubt that the electromagnetic frequencies that we are exposed to have an impact on our health and bodies. And when you know better, you can do better. You can make strategic changes. You can protect yourself in compelling ways, and you can live a healthier, more energetic life. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to Risa Suzuki. Risa Suzuki, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hello, Megan. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation and to having you as well. And we're going to jump into a hot button topic right now, which is which are EMFs. And it's ironic because I'm sitting here in front of a computer and my cell phone and my Wi-Fi and all of the things. So I'm like literally in the EMFs right now. Risa, I'm wondering if you can share with everybody what the heck I am talking about and who you are to be able to speak to this subject today.
Sure, you bet. So first off, EMFs are electromagnetic fields, and they are think of these as the invisible force field that comes out from anything that is powered by electricity. So as you were talking, you know, your laptop and your cell phone, but it's also things like your TV and your household appliances or power lines, you know, whether they're overhead or, you know, running underneath the ground. And they also can be something that is powered by something that's running on your battery, like your laptop or your cell phone. And I'm a certified building biology environmental consultant. Nobody knows what the heck that is, but it's basically a healthy homes certification on steroids because it's about a 2 or 3 year certification process. And we get educated on all sorts of indoor environmental toxins like air and water and building materials and electromagnetic fields, which is what I specialize in.
Okay. So I feel like this is a topic people are either like they delve into it and they're like, oh gosh, like this is a thing that I'm choosing to address in my life. Or there's people like me, despite having extensive training in environmental medicine, where they're like, I've got to draw the line somewhere. I can't tackle this piece. So I'm a full disclosure. That's where I'm at. I want everyone to know where I'm at. I'm not going to pretend that I'm not. I'm keenly aware of it. But what I really want to know is, are EMFs a problem for everyone?
Oh, absolutely.
Darn it. Okay, let's keep going.
That's the scary thing. And that's usually when people shut down because they trigger the fight or flight response. It disrupts your sleep. There's all these, you know, horrible things that they do to your body, even if you don't feel anything. And so when you start to think about how much we're exposed to, then that's kind of where the overwhelm can start to set in. And then for everyone who's curious about it, they'll go online and look for everything and then get completely overwhelmed by all the information they find. So you're not alone.
So where should we start on this piece? Because, and here's the context I'll give it. I've always asked patients who've come in, some of whom have been very sick, what took you so long to come through the door? Like, you've known about me for a long time, been on my list for a while, you've come to talks, whatever, but it's taken you 18 months, it's taken you 3 years to walk through the door. What is it? And it's never about money. It really isn't. What it's about is they're scared that I'm going to take away their dairy or their gluten or their coffee or their wine. They're scared that I'm going to disrupt their lifestyle. And I suspect that is the conflict that we are running into with respect to EMFs. So let's start on the surface level. Like, how can we clean it up? The same way we're, you know, if we're talking to a room full of McDonald's addicts, where do we start? And then let's start to delve a little bit deeper.
Well, I think the first thing is to just be aware of what's in your, you know, what's in your house, what's around you, right? So it's kind of like, I'm kind of the trigger person. So people start talking to me, like you said, oh my gosh, I'm talking to you and I'm just realizing everything that I'm surrounded by. So that's the first thing, is to just, you know, just to kind of take notice. How much, how much are you on your laptop? Where is your laptop? Where's your cell phone? Is it with you all the time? And just kind of noticing, you know, where you are and where your things are that are impacting you throughout the day, especially right now, because we're, you know, inside a lot of the time since we can't go out. And then, you know, I know where I am. I'm over on the West Coast. It's been nice and great weather, but now we're heading into fall where we're going to be inside even more.
Right, right. And technology has become so ubiquitous with our standard of living in today's day and age, and especially at a time where so many of us are in our homes. If we look around, certainly we've got cell phones sitting in our back pocket. Most of us have Wi-Fi running through our house, if not our own Wi-Fi, everybody in the neighborhoods. How do we start with those two pieces?
So after you take a look around and not get totally freaked out by everything you're surrounded with, that's when you want to start thinking about, what are the things that I absolutely need to have? And then what are the things that I don't? And that's where you can start to, you know, that's where the lifestyle changes start to come into play, which is, what are the things that are critical and what are the things that, I don't really need to have next to me all the time, or, you know, I can move away or, you know, turn off or something like that. Because when it comes to risk and exposure, it really comes down to, with EMFs, and it's, you know, just kind of like any toxins, it's how much is bombarding your body and then how long, like what's the exposure time. So when you think about EMFs, you want to reduce both of those.
And I think for a lot of people, they're like, I can't see this, so therefore it can't be hurting me. Mm-hmm. What is the influence of the EMFs on someone's health?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. You said if you could see it. So when I was in, and I'm just gonna put a little side note here. When I was in certification, actually it was about 10 years, almost 10 years ago. And so that was before, you know, 4G and all the streaming, and then certainly before 5G. And they said that, in the room we were in, there was about, I don't know, 35 of us. And they said, if we could see Wi-Fi right now, we would not be able to see across the room. And that was right. And then all of us were going, oh my gosh, we're going to die. Right. But as far as how it affects, you know, the thing, how it affects our body, it, you know, like I said, it triggers fight or flight response. It, you know, that's your brain, your cognition, and just this induced stress on our bodies that it's supposed to be for a very short amount of time. And instead it's for an extended amount of time, like days and weeks, right? If you're always surrounded by all of your technology. So a lot of the things, you know, it kicks off inflammation. So if you have any sort of inflammation related diseases or conditions, it's going to trigger that. And if you have anything that's existing, it's going to make it worse.
I was just going to throw this analogy in there for people. I talk about it sometimes as being like someone's physiological bank account, and the influence of EMFs are like someone is just withdrawing money from your account every single day, but you never signed up for that. And you can't, right? It's like, why is my threshold of energy like 80 times lower than where it should be? This should be on your list. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was like, that's usually where I interrupt people's yeah, but patterns with respect to this.
Yes, absolutely. Totally agree with that. And that's why you have that. The other piece of when you are, when you start looking at EMF fields in your environment, it's really important to be supplementing your body just because of the damages that they're doing. Basically what happens is your body does, you know, we have our own electromagnetic field. It's natural. You know, when we're in nature, we recognize the vibration of the earth, you know, anything that's living that comes from earth, we recognize those signals. When it comes to electromagnetic fields, our body doesn't recognize what those signals are, right? Because our cells communicate, at different frequencies. And what happens is our body goes, what is this? And then our blood-brain barrier opens up because it's trying to figure out what the heck these signals are that are coming from, you know, electricity, Wi-Fi, everything else we're surrounded by. And when that happens, it allows all of these neurotoxins to come into our brain for a split second. But then our body goes, oops, okay, we think we must be under attack because we don't know what this signal is. And that's why it goes into fight or flight, because our body thinks it's being attacked by all these fields that it doesn't recognize and all these signals.
Right. And I don't think people appreciate the importance of electromagnetic fields in our own physiology. Like this isn't crystal science. This is like the physics of how cells work.
Yes.
And I really want to preface that for people, because again, I think people are like, ugh, I can't see it, I can't go there. This is right. When you start to understand what the physics are behind the physiology, we know that electromagnetics have such an intimate relationship with nearly every physiological function within the body.
Exactly. And it's scary for a lot of people, right? Because you realize, oh my gosh, this affects everything in my entire body.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about why people with issues with respect to mold and mold toxicity are in a state of hypervulnerability with respect to EMFs?
I don't know that there's hard science. There's a really strong correlation, though, with people who have mold. If they have sensitivities, or if they've had, you know, some sort of like a major incident, which has made them, you know, have some sort of a severe chronic health condition, they're also somehow really susceptible to EMF fields. Meaning that if they go out somewhere, like they are the ones who go, oh my gosh, I feel like there's a cell tower, you know, somewhere close, or they're really affected by the power lines. Or the other thing that I've seen too is that they also we call it the mold nose, where they can walk into a room and literally just go, I can feel that mold is in here, or I can smell the mold. And to the normal person, we're like, what?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, being a naturopathic doctor for so long, I'm just so used to those patients. They can't even walk through the ground floor of a department store because they're just, it's like sensory overload, and they're just unwell. Like their body just can't manage all of those pieces.
Yeah.
What are the symptoms of EMF exposure? Like if everyone's like, okay, we're all exposed, we're all experiencing it, like anything else, you're going to have canaries in the coal mine. But what kind of symptoms are we talking about when we're talking about chronic exposure to EMFs?
A lot of it depends on the health of the individual, which is why it's really hard, or it can be really hard to detect if you don't know about it. the most obvious is, you know, when you have an acute symptom where someone says, you know what, I feel these heart pains, this chest pain whenever I'm working on my laptop or in front of a monitor, or I'm using my cell phone and my cell phone makes my wrist hurt, or my hand tingles, or, you know, something like that where they can actually associate it. So there's those where, like, it's not a natural body sensation. And then the other times it's really subtle. And this is why I did not detect my EMF symptoms when I first became sensitive. Because there are things like headaches. It's waking up feeling like I didn't really sleep very good. Or it's, I feel like I just don't have as much energy as I used to. And then going back to your previous analogy of, I feel like I'm just taking, you know, there's money being withdrawn every day without my permission. And when you have this gradual drain on your body, you don't realize it over an extended amount of time. So either your symptoms are going to get much worse, and then you'll notice and go, okay, what the heck is going on? Or something else will come up in your health that, you know, that they could have triggered.
Can we test for EMF toxicity within the body?
No.
Darn.
I know. I know. I wish that would be like the golden, the golden magic wand.
I would love that.
Yes.
The one thing I really want people to know here, because when they're like, okay, well, I have some of these symptoms, like what? So, I mean, as a clinician, when I'm thinking about EMFs as being an issue, and Risa, you know this, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to people listening. There are three things sort of at the end of the diagnostic train that when we cannot find anything else that's going on, I will tend to turn to as things we need to find some capacity to rule out. The first one is mold. And all of these are inconvenient things, which is why we don't like to go there first. But the first one is mold. I've had way too many of my patients with chronic eczema, chronic lung issues, chronic infections, low-grade coughs, where they're like, I just can't shake it. I need immune support. And I'm like, we got to get your home assessed, because I'm a little bit worried that when you moved last year and the onset of your symptoms, they are connected. It happens more often than I want to count. So mold, I will always look at. The next thing I will look at is Lyme disease.
Yep. So there's a huge correlation with Lyme and EMFs as well.
Oh, okay. So let's delve into that in 1 second, because Lyme. Oh gosh, this is the happiest podcast you'll listen to all day. But it's so this is so important. So I want everyone to hang in there. So Lyme disease, which is endemic throughout North America, in particular on the East Coast, also has this insidious presentation. It manifests differently for lots of people. It needs to be ruled out if you are experiencing chronic symptoms of unknown origin. And the third would be EMFs. And it's really hard, I have found as a clinician, this is why I asked you, I'm like, do you have some magic test I've never heard of? It's really hard as a clinician to make any of these particular diagnoses. And often it's going to require a whole new level of investigation into your home, into your life. Diagnosis of exclusion, meaning in this case, not that we are excluding everything else, but that we start to take things out of your world and see if that impacts your physiology. So as we start to talk about that, what do we take out and how do we do that? Can you just really briefly talk about this notion of EMFs and Lyme?
Sure. It's same. It's very similar as mold. There's just a huge correlation of people who have been diagnosed with Lyme. And it was all the Lyme patients that found me when I first started, because it was so long ago. And like you were saying, it was one of those things where, okay, we've done all of our due diligence and investigated everything. Now we're going to look at EMFs because we're hoping that this will make a difference in your life. And it's the same thing where there's just this huge correlation between Lyme's disease. And if you have, you know, Lyme's, or if you had Lyme's, you are also susceptible to being sensitive to EMF fields, which will then trigger, you know, more, you know, reactions or episodes, whatever you want to call them.
Right. And Lyme is going to have an influence on the actual biochemistry and vulnerability of the cells. And Lyme also just depletes that physiological bank account.
Yep.
So like, you know, when you're already in overdraft, more things pulling on overdraft are just further depleting. You feel them that much.
Exactly.
You feel them that much more.
It's kind of, it's kind of like pig piling on your cells because you have limes that are just kind of, you know, destroying your body at a cellular level, very basic, right? And then you have EMFs because we're surrounded, you know, a lot of homes are surrounded by, you know, all sorts of, you know, their Alexas and Sonos and, you know, wireless everything.
Okay, so let's talk about wireless everything. Wi-Fi Wi-Fi in people's homes, how big a part is that in their EMF exposure? Especially right now, everyone's at home.
I know. It's pretty huge because most people don't know or realize that EMF fields, what they're doing to their health. And a lot of this goes back to just when, you know, cell phones were first marketed. They actually call it the cell phone study. And it was a Motorola study, and they had this whole team, and their job was to, you know, do research and see if there's any biological effects. What happened is they found, there's biological effects. And this was, you know, back in the 80s, mid 80s. And so, you know, none of the technology that we have today. And so they said, there's biological effects. They said, hey, you know what? We're going to show you our results before we formally publish it, which was kind of a big mistake because then they saw the results, they shut down the study, disbanded everything, and then that was the end of that. So there isn't really, there's not a lot of historical, just kind of like mainstream knowledge that EMF fields are bad for your health. It's kind of like the smoking industry, you know, 50 years ago,
right,
when it was, this is the great thing, it's very glamorous. And there's a lot of similarities. And so we're just eating up all these convenient things, right? Like I can turn on my thermostat so my house will be nice and warm when I get home, or I can, you know, have, you know, my smart lights, which will automatically, you know, light up when I walk in the room, or, you know, all these things that we don't really have to expend as much effort to control. We can just control with our phone or our computer.
Yeah, listen, I get it. I these things are massively appealing. And I think part of the argument around something like Wi-Fi is, well, like, what's the point of me turning off my Wi-Fi? Because there's 85 signals moving through my house from all of my neighbors. So let's say we were to plug in directly to the wall at home. I think there's very few people who can engage in their career without access to the internet at this point. But let's say we plug into the wall. How do we protect ourselves from the neighboring Wi-Fi signals?
Well, there's a couple things. One, your phone and your laptop, they are really, really sensitive. So a lot of times they'll pick up the signals that are coming in, but what's actually coming in from outside is usually not going to be as strong as you think it is.
Okay.
So it really comes down to what is in your house that you're surrounded by.
Right.
Or, you know, around you that you spend the most amount of time.
How do we measure that? Because I know there are devices that we can measure EMFs in our home, which I think would give a lot of people more information in knowing where they can maybe shut things off at night or start to play around with some compromised solutions to get started.
Yes. So you can buy EMF meters. My favorite one that I love referring to my clients, and they love because, one, it is super easy to use. It's called the Safe and Sound Professional 2. Sounds very fancy, but really it's just a small handheld meter, and it only measures radio frequency. What I love about this one is that whenever you have anything that's wireless, it sends out signals in milliseconds. And so the really inexpensive meters, so I say the inexpensive ones, the ones that are that maybe are the all-in-ones where they say that they can measure all three fields, or, you know, the ones that are, you know, a couple $100, $200, they will not be able to capture those high thresholds. So you don't really get the results you don't really get an accurate read of what's really going on in your environment because they're not going to be accurate. And then they also don't take into account LTE or 4G because this technology is really old. So a lot of these more inexpensive meters, they don't include what we call the multiplier effect. And so the safe and sound one, it's I think it's about $400 or $500 U.S. dollars, but it has the threshold, so it'll capture whatever that peak is. It'll show you what the average is, and then it also includes that LTE calculator. And all the inexpensive meters, they don't even tell you what the multiplier is, because I don't know that they've actually included that in their calculations. So and it's also very sturdy. So I'll take this out sometimes, like if I'm not that I'm going a lot of places these days, but if I'm out somewhere and I'm just curious, I'll always take that with me. Or if I'm going to meet someone and I know that and they have questions, like a friend or a colleague, that's the meter that I'll pull just because it's easy and it's durable, because a lot of these are really sensitive.
What is the multiplier effect?
The multiplier effect is because the radiation jumped so much about 2010, 2011, they basically allowed more radiation. They said, meaning the FCC, they classified your ear as an outer extremity. And when you measure radio frequency, what's allowed, they measure how much radiation is allowed to absorb in your body and how much your body temperature rises. And so in order for all of the streaming that we have now, right, streaming music, streaming TV, watching a video, you need to have more bandwidth, which is more radiation. So your phone or your tablet is sending out the request, hey, I want to watch this movie. And then it connects, and then it downloads all those pictures. That requires significant, more right. bandwidth in order to do that. So you have to have more radiation. That's basically more radiation. And when they reclassified everything, that also basically enabled this to be to be within those thresholds. And so when you measure back in the old days before that, you didn't really have to multiply to account for 4G or LTE.
Okay.
So you're using a really old technology, but it's really not, we have to, times this measurement by 10 to get what's really going on.
Okay, fair enough. And so we've got Wi-Fi, which is connecting everything from our cell phones to our Sonos to all of the conveniences that you mentioned in terms of having a modern home. Are we getting EMFs from other sources that are just really easy for us to shut off? Like, are there types of lighting systems? Are there things we wouldn't necessarily think of that would be easy sources for us to change behavior around?
It really comes down to the individual. So as far as turning things off, there are other sources like dimmer switches. Dimmer switches create dirty electricity, which is basically harmonics in your along your electricity. It's anything that has a variable speed motor, like a hairdryer or a blender, where you're changing the speed. When you're running those things, it creates harmonics in your electricity all along that whole circuit. Same thing with your laptop or cell phones, right? You're plugging it in, and it's taking the electricity coming from your wall and charging up that battery so that it can, run on battery. Well, when it converts that also creates dirty electricity. So if you're sitting on your desk and you have a big charging station in front of you, move it away from you or unplug it or go put it, I always tell clients, go put that thing in the other room.
Right. And how far away do things need to be?
That depends on how strong the fields are. Wi-Fi travels all, you can move something across the room and it's really not going to make that much of a difference for anything right. that's wireless. Everything else, it depends on how strong the fields are. So meaning if you have a bunch of things plugged in, then it's going to create a bigger field and the drop-off rate is going to require more distance.
Okay. So Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say it can be anywhere from a foot to, you know, maybe 3 feet, 4 feet. But then again, it really depends on what you have in your space.
Yeah, it means that myself and everyone listening needs to get themselves an EMF meter so they can make some informed decisions with respect to their house. I want to talk about some of the solutions and things that we can put into our space that help to offset the influence of the EMFs. But before I do that, I'm hoping you can address a hot button topic right now, which is 5G.
I knew you were going to ask.
Oh, yeah. We have to go there because I know everyone listening is like, talk about 5G. Talk 5G. About 5G. Yeah. I mean, listen, this is a technology that is being released and rolled out with you know, yes. We're not going to stop that. There's been a significant amount of conversation as it pertains to 5G and COVID-19. I'm trying not to say it out loud so my podcast doesn't shut down, but let's talk about it. And I get there's no hard science, but let's talk about what people are talking about with respect to 5G.
Sure. So 5G is the next generation of, I don't know, I want to say like the radio, like the marketing piece, right? There was 2G, then there was 3G, 4G, and all of these Gs, it's blocks of spectrum. So if you think of, you know, when you have your AM or FM radio, right, you're tuning it to a specific channel, or it's actually a frequency. And radio, so when you look at radio frequency, it's the same thing. Like you buy, meaning the cell companies, they buy blocks of spectrum. And so when, you know, certain big blocks of spectrum are available, that's when it's, okay, this is 4G. This, you know, these frequencies are available for sale. 5G is, that's what 5G is. 5G is it's a range of spectrum that is available, you know, to be purchased and licensed out. Right now, everything is... So 4G goes up to 5.8 gigahertz. So if you think about it in just hertz or cycles per second, that's millions. Gigahertz is millions of cycles per second. And 5G is 6 gigahertz, and it's licensed, I believe, right now up to about 30 or 35 that has been licensed out, but it's available up to 78. And when you get up into those higher frequencies, remember earlier I talked about radio frequency and how the regulation is around how much radiation our body, they say that our body can absorb without having severe biological effects. And it's also measured by how much your body temperature rises, like, you know, 1 to 2 degrees Celsius. When you get up into these higher frequencies, you're getting closer to the light spectrum. And that's where, number one, 5G has not been tested on humans. And it's painful because it's such a high frequency. It's like you feel like your skin is being burned, or like I've heard, seen reports that it's like rashes, burning sensations, because it's so much higher than what we are, you know, used to. Our bodies are at such a lower frequency. It's between 62 and 68 hertz or cycles per second. So now we have this frequency that's just off the charts that's being rolled out everywhere. And 5G, the way that they are implementing it, so they're not, number one, they're not going to be taking down the big, huge cell towers. So if you're driving outside of the city and you see those big towers that have been there forever, those aren't going away. The smaller towers that you see inside the city, right, that are maybe mm-hmm. on buildings, roofs, that kind of thing. Those are going to be your, you know, 3G and 4G towers. 5G is also going to be much smaller. So those are going to be on things like your street lights or your lamp posts, your utility poles. And the plan is to have them about 150, 200 feet away to help bounce the signal. They are also going to be, the last spec said that they're also going to be working with, you know, those the self-driving cars, like communicating with the cars. And it's being rolled out, so at least here in the States, it's rolled out in most cities. There's actually a website you can go to. It's called NPERF, nperf.com. And it's a site built by, funded by the industry, because it's touting, hey, here's your coverage, isn't this great? But it will show you, it's a global site, so it's not just limited to the US. But there's a little 5G button, and you can click and see where 5G is deployed. And the interesting thing is that there are 5G towers along most of the big interstate highways. Once you get off, so here, you know, in the Northwest, for us, it's, you know, I-5. So they're pretty much all up and down I-5. Then when you get to the smaller highways, they're still there, but not quite as much. Then you get into the neighborhoods, and it's kind of like rolling the dice where it is and where it isn't.
And what does any of this have to do with COVID-19?
Well, EMF fields, they affect your, you know, they affect you at a very basic cellular level. And the reports that I've seen is that it overlaps or, you know, along with COVID. I haven't paid too much attention to it for a couple months, so my brain's kind of rusty. But I feel like it's a lot of it is also with the oxygen depletion.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember reading a report saying that like where COVID started, that was like the first 5G city in Wuhan.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. But where there is correlation, it doesn't necessarily mean causation. So more to come on that. Risa, I'm wondering, just before we transition the interview, if you can share for everyone listening some things that they can do to support and protect themselves from EMF. So yes, we could turn off our Wi-Fi, and yeah, we can turn off our cell phones and really be aware of and test for EMFs in our space. But are there plants? Are there things that we can start to put into our space, wear around our neck, that help to offset the influence of the EMFs in our lives?
Yes. So plants are kind of tricky. I mean, I love plants, and there's the one, I think it's called the lily plant. Those help with EMF fields. The problem though is that if your EMF levels or your, you know, your radio frequency levels are really high, your plants are going to start to get, it's almost like they get burn spots on them. I've seen that happen.
Interesting.
That actually happened to my plants. While I was going through certification, and I found out that's why it was doing that. So yeah, absolutely. You can absolutely, you know, get plants that will help that. Things around your neck, you know, I really gravitate towards natural holistic solutions, because those are frequencies that our body recognizes. So if, you know, if I were to wear something around my neck, and actually, one of the contracts I was on, I used to have to go in for a weekly meeting, and it was right across the street from a cell tower. And there was this huge window, so I couldn't move anywhere in the room to avoid it. So I would take shungite, and shungite, they've actually done research on it. Shungite is it's a crystal, it's a Russian stone that helps absorb EMF fields. Things like salt, because salt is loaded with negative ions, And EMF fields, whether it's from our electronic devices that are plugged in or anything that's battery operated, those create positively charged ions just in our air. So that's how plants can offset. But salt, like if you do a salt bath or a salt scrub, those will help clear your field, but it also gets it'll clear all those positively charged ions off your skin, because our skin it holds all those positively charged ions. Like that's when you, like in the wintertime when it's really dry and you touch something metal and you get a shock.
Right.
That's that.
Will Epsom salts work?
Yep. Absolutely.
And what about salt lamps?
Ooh, salt lamps. I always get that question. Mm. I love salt lamps. When you plug them in, it does create dirty electricity. So if you have a salt lamp, one, if you're like, oh, I have to have it plugged in just because I love the light that it creates, then I say plug it in, but don't stick it right next to you.
Okay.
You know, put it across the room. Or the other thing that I've done is where I've just taken the light bulb out and then I just dropped in a votive, and then
right.
I lit the candle.
Right. A clear non-paraffin votive.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
I love it. If you're one of these people who just listen to this and you have to plug in your salt lamp, you need to go back to the beginning and listen again, because where you can control the little things, aim to control those little things. As an ND and anthropologist, I have always been on the lookout for unique insights into my own health. While I have gadgets and trackers, nothing has provided me with the kind of actionable information I needed, like lifestyle genetic testing. DNA Labs is a lifestyle genetics testing company based in Toronto, Canada. Lifestyle genetics offers insight into the relationship between your genes and the lifestyle choices you have access to every day. The frontier of health is precision medicine. Informing yourself and your practitioner about your genetic blueprint provides personalized insight unattainable through any other sort of testing. Whether it is understanding how to reduce your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, or depression, selecting the most efficacious medications, or reducing side effects to those medications, or even designing a lifestyle plan and health optimization protocol that harnesses your unique potential, this is the mission of DNA Labs. Acquiring samples are as simple as a cheek swab and can be completed in the privacy of your own home. For public listeners in Canada and the U.S., until July 30th, you can receive a 15% discount for online orders when you enter Anthropology2020 at dnalabs.ca. For practitioners, you can access a pro panel and practitioner pricing by sending a message to contact@dnalabs.ca. Risa, I think this is a perfect place to transition our interview. And what I have are a series of rapid fire questions for you. And we call these our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our lives, I believe that we have them, just as we have them in our business, I believe we have them in our lives as well. So I've got five quick questions for you.
Okay. I saw those and I'm like, I wonder what these are going to be.
I know.
They're kind of stressful.
No, okay. Don't worry. Okay. 5,300. I'm just kidding. There's no math. Okay. What is the most impactful book you've ever read? Period. I used to ask during the pandemic, but I just want to know, period. What book changed your life?
Oh my gosh. Just one?
There's no rules. This is an entrepreneurial podcast. You don't have to follow rules. You can have more than one.
You know what? Since I think the one that's coming to mind, it's called Bringers of the Dawn. It's by Barbara Marciniak. It's a little kind of like crazy out there, but I'm super intuitive. I'm very sensitive. And reading that book just made me feel like, oh, I feel like I feel like I'm understood.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Ooh, I do yoga stretching every day. Well, not every day. I didn't do it today because I had to get up early for the podcast. but that's my morning routine.
But
I do my
yoga. Day's not over yet.
Yeah, I'm doing that after this.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
You know what? I'm a really amazing skier because my dad went to the Nationals and I've been skiing since I was 3 and I've been teaching since I was 14.
Amazing. Okay, we're going to have to hit the slopes. What do you do for fun or play?
You know what? I love making jewelry.
Okay, I like it. And last question for you, Risa. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Ooh, I think we're born this way.
I love it. Risa Suzuki, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. Where can we send people to learn more about the work that you are doing and your amazing book, What the EMF?
Yes. So my book, it's on Amazon. Just type What the EMF. It is designed for do-it-yourselfers. It is not technical. It does not have a scary, ugly cover. I made my mom read it. So because I wanted people who do not understand EMFs or are technical, I want them to be able to read it and take action. So don't be scared. And there's lots of holistic and natural solutions in there too, because that's the other piece that's really important. And then if you want to learn more, my website is risasuzuki.com. And I run 5-day EMF workshops every so often as well for learning more. And then there's a link on there to join my Facebook group too.
Awesome. So we're going to hook everybody up in our show notes so they can learn more about what you are doing. I'm heading over to Amazon on my computer that I will plug into the wall to order my Safe and Sound EMF meter. I'll update everyone on social with respect to the results of that. Risa, thank you so much for being with me today.
You bet. Thank you so much. It's been great being on your show, Megan.
Discussing EMFs and doing something about it is always a challenging topic. But the idea here is that when you know better, you can do better. In the spirit of that idea, I wanted to also let you know about an upcoming training that we are doing with Dr. Robin Murphy. Robin Murphy is a naturopathic doctor with a particular focus on personalized genetic testing. How do you leverage genetic testing to fully optimize your physiology? Now, the interesting connection here between EMFs and genetic testing is that there are various markers that seem to suggest one's increased heightened sensitivity to exposures, whether that be mold, environmental exposures, or even those things we can't see, such as EMFs. This live training is actually going to be taking place on September 24th. It's totally free, and I would love for you to join us. It is supported by DNA Labs, and if you're interested in participating in that, you can head on over to clinicianbusinesslabs.com/genetics. Like always, we're going to keep the conversation moving forward, and I would encourage you to join our community, the Anthropology Collective. This free online Facebook community is where badass women are talking about these types of subjects day in and day out, our best strategies for living our best lives so that we can leave the impact on this planet that we all dreamed of. Head on over to Anthropology Collective, and we would love to welcome you into our community. Next week, we've got some really exciting episodes coming your way. We're starting to delve into thyroid health and its impact on your energy. Don't miss the opportunity to hang out with us again next Tuesday morning as we drop the latest episode of the Anthropology Podcast.